Today we're studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 25, Texts 57 to 61. Kvachit vibhyantyam vibhanti madiram madavivalaha asnantyam kvachir asnati Chakshatyam saha chakshati. When the king drank liquor, King Puranjana also engaged in drinking. When the queen dined, he used to dine with her. And when she chewed, King Puranjana used to chew along with her. When the queen sang, he also sang. Similarly, when the queen cried, he also cried. And when the queen laughed, he also laughed. When the queen talked loosely, he also talked loosely. And when the queen walked, the king walked behind her. When the queen would stand still, the king would also stand still. And when the queen would lie down in bed, he would also lie down with her. When the queen sat, he would also sit. And when the queen heard something, he would follow her to hear the same thing. When the queen saw something, the king would also look at it. And when the queen smelled something, the king would follow her to smell the same thing. When the queen touched something, the king would also touch it. And when the dear queen was lamenting, the poor king also had to follow her in lamentation. In the same way, when the queen felt enjoyment, he also enjoyed. And when the queen was satisfied, the king also felt satisfaction. Purport by Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The mind is the place where the self is situated, and the mind is conducted by the intelligence. The living entity situated within the heart follows the intelligence. The intelligence is herein depicted as the queen, and the soul, under mental control, follows the material intelligence just as the king follows his wife. The conclusion is that material intelligence is the cause of bondage for the living entity. The point is that one has to take spiritual intelligence to come out of this entanglement. In the life of Maharaj Ambarish, we find that the great Maharaj first engaged his mind on the lotus feet of the Lord. In this way, his intelligence became purified. Maharaj Ambarish also used his other senses in the service of the Lord. He engaged his eyes in perceiving the deity in the temple nicely decorated with flowers. He engaged his sense of smell by smelling the flowers, and he engaged his legs by walking to the temple. His hands were engaged in cleansing the temple, and his ears were engaged in hearing about Krishna. His tongue was engaged in two ways, in speaking about Krishna and in tasting prasad offered to the deity. Materialistic persons who are under the full control of material intelligence cannot perform all these activities. Thus, consciously or unconsciously, they become entangled by the dictations of material intelligence. This fact is summarized in the following verse. Om Gyana Chimandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest of ignorance, and my spiritual master is forcing open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him. Panchakalpa Tirupyascha Kripa Sindhupyevacha Patitanan Pavanepyo Vaishnavepyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I was asked at 8 o'clock last night if I'd like to give class today. And the devotee who asked me is a very nice devotee. He said he couldn't do it because he was ill. And I never had a chance to do service for this devotee before, so I thought, okay, I can't refuse. I'd like to ask the blessings of all the devotees, and especially my god sisters. Bala Gopal Mataji is... been in the movement since 1970, I think you also had the opportunity to have some association with Prabhupada, some close association with Prabhupada. Very blessed. And she and her husband have been doing all kinds of valuable service in ISKCON for the last decades. Of course, our Maradwati, you may remember her from our last Vyasa Puja offering to Srila Prabhupada. And we're very happy that she's here today, especially ask your blessings to be able to say something that's valuable and relevant. At least doesn't go against the Siddhanta of Srila Prabhupada. I'd like to speak a little bit today about the mind. Prabhupada says the mind is the place where the soul is situated, and intelligence as the leader of the soul and the mind. Also, I want to speak a little bit about the source of the intelligence and the goal of intelligence. So Prabhupada tells us that the mind is the place where the self is situated. And so we might think, how is it possible that the self became captured by this mind? And when I was thinking about this, I was remembering in the college I had the chance to write a few essays about creation. Sankhya philosophy, we came across Sankhya philosophy. And so I got to study a little bit how this happens, and I'd like to read something from what Kapiladev told his mother. He said, from the false ego of goodness, another transformation takes place, because there's the soul is pure, and then even when the soul is first in the material energy, the soul remains pure. But then the soul comes in contact with ahankara. as Pallad Anwar says, ahamkar, I am this car. I like that, the way he says that. Ahamkar, I am this car, this body. And that's a kind of transformation that the soul undergoes by contact with the false ego. And the false ego manifests three different qualities. So from the false ego of goodness, another transformation takes place. From this evolves the mind, whose thoughts and reflection give rise to desire. Purport. The symptoms of the mind are determination and rejection. Determination, I want. Rejection, I don't want. Which are due to different kinds of desires. We desire that which is favorable for our sense gratification, and we reject that which is not favorable to sense gratification. The material mind is not fixed, but the very same mind can be fixed when engaged in the activities of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, as long as the mind is on the material platform, it is hovering. And all this rejection and acceptance is asat or temporary. It is stated that he whose mind is not fixed in Krishna consciousness must hover between acceptance and rejection. However advanced a man is in academic qualifications, as long as he is not fixed in Krishna consciousness, he will simply accept and reject and will never be able to fix his mind on a particular subject matter. This is the condition of the soul in material existence, that the soul is... Although sometimes we think, well, the person looks pretty fixed, but it's just a matter of time before the mental frame shifts and the soul has to shift right along with it. The real condition of the mind, the natural condition of the mind, is to be very peacefully fixed on the lotus feet of the Lord with determination. But the soul in contact with matter doesn't have that experience. And as long as we choose, as long as the self chooses to be controlled by this desire for self-centered enjoyment, our very self is subject to the extremes of first accepting and then rejecting, or rejecting and accepting. We all have experience of this. We become very attached to a person or a thing or a place, and then something goes wrong. Something becomes unpleasant in that place or situation or with another person, and then we think, no. We feel the need to reject. This is the extremes of the mind. I remember my Sankirtan leader, who knows Nanda from Alachua? She used to be my Sankirtan leader, and she said, here comes, she used to always say to me, here comes Jai Bhadra with her two friends, Sankalpa and Vikalpa, accepting and rejecting. She knew that I was very mental, so she used to like to tease me like that. Of course, Prabhupada does tell us in the purport that the mind is conducted by the intelligence. So the living entity situated within the heart follows the intelligence. And of course, Prabhupada reminds us that this intelligence is being represented by the queen. And that the conditioned soul, under material influence, follows this intelligence, just as the king followed his wife. And Prabhupada reminds us the point is that we have to take to spiritual intelligence to come out of this entanglement. And this, how to do this, how to take shelter of spiritual intelligence, is very nicely described by Srila Prabhupada. Verses explained by Sukadeva Goswami, but Prabhupada has a wonderful purport to verse 2, Canto 2, chapter 2, text 35. That verse is spoken by Sukadeva Goswami. He's replying to some questions. The first two questions that Maharaj Pariksit asked him, he gave a long answer. Of course, the whole Bhagavatam is about that, more and more elaborately explaining the answer to these two questions. Does anybody remember what the two questions are that Maharaj Pariksit first asked Sukadeva Goswami? The seminal question, they call it. What is it, Gaurhari, in the first questions? Yeah, what is the duty of all persons, and especially one who's about to die? And then, what should a man hear, chant, remember, and worship, and also what he should not do? So these are the two questions. And one of the answers that Sukadeva Goswami built up to, he said that the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is in every living entity along with the individual soul. And this fact is perceived and hypothesized in our acts of perceiving and taking help from the intelligence. Later on he tells him that we should thus glorify, worship, remember the Lord. The Prabhupada, he gave a very elaborate explanation in this purport, based on, if I remember correctly, points that Jiva Goswami made in the Vedanta Sutra. So Prabhupada says in that purport that with the help of the intelligence I can distinguish and separate myself from other things. Is this me? Papa does that, you know, what, touch your nose, touch your ears, touch yourself. And then I can also identify myself as a living being who is perceiving. I'm not what I see, I'm not what I'm in, but I'm perceiving. So I'm separate. And then I can see that there's a difference between what I see, this is all because I take help from the intelligence, what I see, and what I am. I also can understand that I have no power to perceive or to act independently if I just take shelter of my intelligence a little bit. And then I realize that my actions and my ability to perceive, as well as all that I perceive, depend on various kinds of energies, both subtle and gross, that are supplied by natural energy. And then I think, well, this is all being supplied to me, so then what am I? I'm not the matter, so then I'm something different. I'm alive, I'm active, so I'm spirit soul. And I understand that the I that is perceiving everything is spirit. And I can understand all of this because my intelligence is helping me. The reason why that I know that I'm spiritual is because I'm not satisfied with all this material energy. That's one of the main indications of the difference between matter and spirit. And all of this I'm understanding because my intelligence is directing me like a higher authority. And I can't do anything without the help of my intelligence. Prabhupada says that if we can't take advantage of our intelligence, we become a mad person. Mad people are people who no more can take care of their intelligence, and that we're dependent on the intelligence, because it's a direction of some higher authority. Just like a father who gives direction to his son. We see Stoka Krishna here with his son. The son becomes completely fascinated by the picture, or this and that. He'll just stare at it forever. But of course, the father knows that other people want to come, and he doesn't want to distract everybody, so he has to guide the son at every step. And that, our intelligence is like that. So this higher authority who is present and residing within my body is the super soul. And by taking advantage of his guidance in the form of intelligence, I can either continue to study and to put into practice my conclusion that I am not this body, or I can choose to remain in the false material identification, thinking that I am the owner and I am the doer. So that's my freedom. Papa says that our only freedom is orienting my desire either towards the ignorant material misconception or to the true spiritual conception. And Prabhupada develops his argument much further based on Jiva Goswami. He says the Supersoul can't also be the ultimate controller, because otherwise the Supersoul, he's just supplying all our needs. So there must be another controller besides, because God just can't be our order supplier. And then Prabhupada says he's not the full representation of God. That is, he says, by the progress of self-realization, one is able to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead by intelligence, by the help of authorized scriptures, and principally by the grace of the Lord. So this is the direction that our intelligence is supposed to be taking us. And but of course the intelligence is not enough. We need also to study this, confirm this in scripture, and we need to always have the grace of the Lord. And who was the example that Prabhupada gave in the purport of someone who was doing this? Who was the famous devotee who used everything in the service of the Lord? Yeah, Maharsha, exactly. And he probably describes how he would use his eyes to see the deities. He would engage his mind at the lotus feet of Krishna. And we do that when we see the deity every day. We think how fortunate we are to see the lotus feet of the Lord. He was always fixing his mind on the lotus feet of the Lord, and that's how we. When we see the deity, we always like to look at the lotus feet. What jewelry is the Lord wearing? We want to see the tulsi there, and maybe he has some special garlands on his feet today. But actually, if we could fix our mind in this way all the time, then our mind would become filled with the desire to fulfill Krishna's desires, not the desires of the mind that are always coming like waves. And of course, he was always seeing the deity in the temple nicely decorated with flowers. And every time the curtain opens, we think how fortunate we are that we have this treasure, this feast for our eyes every day. I remember Mahavishnu Maharaj, when he was here, he would be giving class, and you know, during class the curtain opens, and he would just stop and look at the deities, and he'd say, "You people are so lucky." He said, "You have Radha Gopinath. Every day you get to see Radha Gopinath." He said, "You people don't know how lucky you are." And of course, the different activities that Maharaj Ambarish did with his nose, he smelled the flowers, the offer to the Lord, and he was cleaning the temple, his ears and hearing the glories of the Lord. So every day we get to do all of these activities that Maharaj Ambarish did. So Prabhupada, I often think about that, how Prabhupada, we were like orphans, homeless orphans wandering in the street, and he just picked us up and gave us the activities of the most exalted pure devotees, the highest aristocrats. And we're allowed to do this, engage our senses in the service of Lord Krishna. And then Prabhupada tells us that materialistic persons who are under the full control of material intelligence cannot perform all these activities. And we know it's true, because sometimes we try to share this nectar with our family members because we love them. Remember, there was this one article in one Back to Godhead magazine about our mother, the cow. And Nishingananda wrote this article, and he said another thing in there that was really touched my heart. He said, "I dearly love my carnivorous mother." He said, "What can I say? We live in a contradictory world." So because we love these people, we try to share something with them. And I remember one time I was reading Bhagavad Gita when I was visiting my family. I thought, my mother surely will be able to understand there's something in a purport that Prabhupada was saying. Surely Mom will appreciate this. So I said, "Mom, just listen, this is really nice." So I just started reading it. It was just a few lines, but she couldn't even wait till I was finished. I don't know if she heard me or if she didn't hear me, if she just interrupted me because she was bored. But she said, "Joan, are you sure that you want to stay in that room, or do you want to stay in the other room?" But my mother wasn't a rude person, so I really think she didn't even hear me. She couldn't. This is how the material senses limit us. Even if we want to share something with people who are materially involved, we can't. We have to pray to Krishna to give us the intelligence how to do it in a way that they can do it. So that's the preacher's job. And that's why Prabhupada says, thus consciously or unconsciously, the conditioned soul becomes entangled by the directions of material intelligence, And then, of course, Prabhupada said, this will be summarized very heavily in the next verse. It's in material. Prabhupada just keeps talking about women and how women are the cause of the problems. It'll be very interesting to see who's going to give the class tomorrow and how they have to deal with this. And in any case, if we want to avoid this endless entanglement in material existence, we must pray to Srila Prabhupada. In the final paragraph of this wonderful purport I referred to you, I read from just in within here, Prabhupada says, if we stick to our determination and pray for the mercy of the director of intelligence sitting within the same bodily tree, like a bird sitting within another cage, within another on another branch, just like here in the Upanishads, certainly the purport of the revealed information in the Vedas becomes clear to our vision, and there is no difficulty in realizing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev. So thank you for listening patiently. If anyone would like to make a comment, I tried to speak a little bit about how the mind has entangled us in material existence, and how by the use of intelligence we can... Shishwara Gopinath Ki Jai. We can understand our situation and begin to extricate ourselves, especially if we realize that Krishna is the source of intelligence and the goal of intelligence. So any comments, corrections, questions? Yes, Prabhu. Spiritual master, the scriptures. That's why Prabhupada said that by the means of our intelligence, especially the scripture, and the mercy, he said, and specifically the grace of the Lord, which of course Prabhupada is the personification of, the spiritual master is the personification of the Lord's grace, then they're the representations of our spiritual intelligence. It's okay? Any other? Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, yeah. That's when I think of a madman. Especially sometimes we have even devotees. Remember one devotee? We loved her because she was such a nice devotee. But she was just every now and then she would just start like laughing, and then someone would ask her, "Why are you laughing like that?" She goes, "Because I'm crazy." And she became more and more crazy, and ultimately she ended up committing suicide. She was convinced that. She could starve herself to death, or she could burn herself, because that's what happened to Maharaj Parikshit. So she chose to burn herself to death. It was pretty heavy. Pretty heavy. But I remember reading the Nectar of Devotion that a devotee who is mad is because of offenses in previous lifetimes. So let's be very careful about that. A mad person, from what I understand, is not held responsible for their activities because they're like animals, actually. Their situation is probably worse than that of the animals because the animals have some direction, but a mad person has to follow whatever the mind dictates. And many times they're haunted by other living entities who are themselves completely conflicted by all kinds of desires. And so, from what I understand... they're not held responsible. Sometimes I don't know if they're on their way up or on their way down to from the human form of life. Right. Yeah, it's a very terrible situation to be in. But because when I hear your question, I think that we hear often that the laws of karma are very complex and very subtle. So, to really be honest with you, I don't know for sure, but sometimes I wonder when I meet a person, like when we go on book distribution or just we see people on the street, we don't know if they're on the way up or on the way down from the human form of life. There was one man outside of the Brooklyn Temple. Anytime you looked out the window, you could see him. He was like kitty corner to the temple. And he was always trying to sit on something, but there was nothing to sit on. So his life was just based on trying to sit on something that wasn't there. Very, very sad. Well, I mean, it's actually the situation of the soul in conditional life, really epitomized, trying to find some shelter that isn't there. So it's really... And there was a lot of them around the New York Temple in Brooklyn, because Brooklyn is not the best, most, you know, mode of goodness location. Yeah, so that it's I think there's no real, from what I understand from my little understanding of the scripture, is that it's not fixed. You can't say, well, it will vary according to the subtle, complex laws of nature. Maybe someone else has some insights on that. Again? Yeah, about the destination of a mad person. Yes, Prabhu? Thank you.
There was some purpose in this life. I also met one person, he was carrying many plastic bags, hundreds, how many plastic bags, they were full of trash.
Yeah.
Then it was asked, why are you doing this? It's just like people also have a few more.
Yeah. Yeah, they take shelter in this because the mode of ignorance is very strong. A thoughtful person will wonder, might reflect, well, what's really the difference? You know, when we see people caring, and if we are a little thoughtful, then we'll think, well, I'm also have all my attachments that I'm carrying around with me. Maybe it's in a different mode of nature, but as long as my attachment isn't directly fixed on the lotus feet of the Lord, the tendency is to accumulate all kinds of unnecessary things that are more or less trash. Yes? People can't? Yeah. Prabhupada says that sometimes, he often says that even if people, if people sit and hear about Krishna, they may not be able to understand everything. They may not even understand the language, but the soul gets purified. That's a good point. Of course, as long as the soul is a little receptive or a little respectful, if someone is really disturbed, then we have to be very careful. But that's the preacher's job. Preacher's job is to make the atmosphere somehow or other favorable so that a person can receive some mercy. So there's never any loss for if a person, my mother wasn't an offensive person, but she was just really covered over as far as hearing about Krishna is concerned. Towards the end of her life, we could speak a little bit about God, and that was nice. Her ashes, not all of them, but some of them are in the Jamuna. My father's too, against all odds. This is impossible. Was it you, Ishani, who brought them? My mother's ashes, somebody, you brought Bhakti Rupa's, right? One of the devotees. Someone else had their hand up and over here, did I see? Go hurry.
This world,
yeah.
People are
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
But some are good in hiding it, some are not. People pretend to be normal.
Yeah.
So if someone is really they are receptive, those who have trouble in the mind, sometimes they come forward and they hear you also. So
yeah.
Yeah,
it's definitely, that's the definition that Rishabhadev gave, that Nunam Pramatak Guru Devi Karma, that the person in sense enjoyment is mad, and that this is not good, and that he should try to make the mind sane through the process of devotional service and by performing divine penance, which is actually not penance at all. Prabhupada said, what is the penance in devotional service? And then we can become purified to the point where we can have eternal happiness that goes on forever, never ends. Of course, people who are very attached to the immediate sense enjoyment, they don't like this idea very much. But we have to emphasize to such persons, it's not that you're only suffering when you're doing devotional service. The process itself is joyful. It's very joyful. And it's just penance in the sense that we're not used to it or that we have some strange ideas about it. Yeah, And we see for ourselves, to the extent that we're Krishna conscious, to the extent we feel sane. And when we're not, when we don't feel a little peaceful and settled in Krishna consciousness, everything becomes insecure and unstable. And we have to get ourselves to our bead bag. Get thee to thy bead bag. And then we find our sanity again. Yes, thank you.
Maybe happy, maybe not. This human evolution that is this Tulta Parabrahma is describing the story of Ranjana. And there is mentioning it, it's, that the conscious self becomes attracted to materialistic intelligence because, like Shiva, it imitates the behavior of consciousness.
Yeah, and it's that's one of the points that, if I remember correctly, Sankhya philosophers speak like that. That atheistic Sankhya philosophers, there's a whole thing about intelligence reflecting, and the soul becomes confused, and it when we do meet a person who is very intelligent, sometimes in the beginning of devotional service, someone who's very intelligent, we might think that they're very spiritually advanced. But after a while, we begin to see that spiritual advancement doesn't depend on materialistic, advanced material intelligence, even though it may look like it's quite dazzling. It's true, the intelligence is the next-door neighbor of the soul. So a highly developed intelligence, even materially, can be quite impressive. But the real test comes as time goes by, if a person actually has the intelligence to discriminate between one, I should submit to Krishna's desires, how can I recognize Krishna's desires, and when do I recognize that I should not just take shelter of a certain situation because it's a materialistic distraction. That's the real basis of intelligence. Intelligence means to be able to discriminate between matter and spirit and understand who's in charge of both. So that's about all I can say about that. I don't know. There may, maybe somebody else has some insights. Is that okay for now, Mike? Well, it's not that the intelligence is conscious. The self is consciousness, and it chooses to follow the materialistically intelligence in contact with the hankara is directed by the mode of passion, the desire for sense gratification. So the mind is the place where it chooses to accept either Krishna consciousness or to reject Krishna consciousness. If the mind rejects Krishna consciousness, it becomes driven by the rajasic intelligence. Otherwise, the mind takes shelter of the spiritual master and the scriptures.
Yes, it seems to be like separates this conscious self and consciousness, and intelligence imitates consciousness. After that, this conscious self becomes attracted to this materialistic intelligence and starts to imitate sin.
Like was being said in the it's a little bit like that. I don't know if it's really imitation so much as taking direction from intelligence, because when we take shelter of the spiritual master, intelligence shows us how we can achieve success in following the instruction of the spiritual master. But if we take shelter of the mode of passion or intelligence that's directed towards sense gratification, then our mind becomes attracted to something, and then the intelligence shows us how we can get that. Actually, it's all very simple. Prabhupada says our freedom is in our choice between orienting ourselves to the true spiritual conception or the false material one. And once we misuse that freedom, then things start becoming more and more complicated. But if we use our freedom properly, then we become naturally illuminated, just like we've been told also that by engaging in devotional service, knowledge and renunciation are a natural consequence of devotional service. Otherwise, we have to kind of try to wrap our head around it, and it's really hard. What I notice about all the arguments that are given about God's existence, trying to appeal to the intelligence, they stay in my mind for about half a second, and then they're gone. But if I'm a little bit, somehow or other, by the causeless mercy of the Lord and the devotees, if I'm a little bit situated spiritually, properly, then I can perceive things more clearly. That's been my experience. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.